Backseat Producers, episode 178, The Social Network. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
Oh, come on, somebody.
This is David.
This is David.
This is Tony.
We are the Backseat Producers. Welcome.
That's the lamest intro ever. All right, what are we doing next week?
Oh, snap. We didn't talk about it.
We're not the old snap machine, Tony.
Let's do...
W.
No.
Yes, I can't make it.
No.
It's a liberal holiday. I can't make it.
Let's do Unforgiven.
Unforgiven.
We've been talking about doing it for a while.
That means this is what's going to happen if we do Unforgiven.
Your dad's going to come out.
My dad's going to say, oh, you guys are doing Unforgiven next week? I got to come out. And then over the next 6 days, he's going to talk himself into coming out and out of coming out like 6 or 7 times, but he'll do it on IM with me. I don't know if I can make it, but it's Unforgiven. I got it. That is the greatest movie ever made.
I love your dad, by the way.
Yeah.
His performance at Trivia Night was stellar.
Amazing. That was awesome.
I mean, it was a paid performance. That was awesome.
Yeah, so Trivia Night, they do this 50-50 drawing, and the pot goes up over $1,000. So somebody's going to win half of that. And they pull a number, and there's like 3 or 4 minutes where nobody is responding to the fact that this number's been pulled. And... His dad like leans over to his brother and all of a sudden jumps up and he goes, "Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah." This is how I would react if I won.
Everyone starts laughing.
This huge guy comes over and he had bought like just strands of tickets.
It was your arm span and this dude was lurch, so he had like a billion tickets.
This guy was easily 6'8". I mean, just huge. And he comes over and he goes, that is a performance worth $100. That was awesome. Congratulations. He goes back to his chair about 2 or 3 minutes later. He's like, I win. And he did. He came over afterward, slipped him to 20.
That's right.
It was great. It was really good.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
Yeah. That was fun. We had a good time.
And we won. It's always nice to win a trivia night.
It's always nice to win a trivia night.
Even if you guys have to argue answers.
What's so great about our trivia night is we actually were like arguing philosophically in-depth answers to questions that the trivia people who were asking the question didn't even really know. They just looked it up, you know? It was pretty cool. Especially the thing about the prime number.
Yeah.
It's
the earliest prime. No, it's 2.
It's not 1.
You'd think it's 1, but it's 2. Yeah. We had this discussion for 5 minutes. Yeah. Like
even
they had
turned the thing in.
They had asked and answered 3 other questions around this. it was a good time though. I got really, really drunk.
Oh, you drank like
a lot.
Anthony, you promised me you'd tell me the truth.
About what?
Oh, she didn't say anything. Sorry, buddy.
Did she have a good time?
Too. She did have a good time.
Fantastic.
She had a good time.
She seemed like she was having a good time. Everybody seemed like they had a good time.
That's because she didn't see the picture where it was her and my butt.
Guess I'll be finding out about that later.
Linda took a picture and like she got in the middle of the picture and then like I started mooning the camera. I don't think she knew, but it was great.
Awesome.
I think it was great. I don't know if she knows. But...
Maybe it'll end up on my desktop here in the next week and a half.
Yes. I'll send it to you. It's fantastic.
April Fools. Social Network.
It was released in 2010, directed by David Fincher, starring Jesse Eisenberg and Justin Timberlake.
I don't know what's going on with that mic now.
And that, no, there was some other guy.
His best friend.
Yeah.
Who was his best friend?
Andrew Garfield.
There we go.
Not even worse.
I don't know what's going on.
He didn't make big bucks.
No, exactly. But
neither he nor his character ended up with the big bucks.
I don't know. I could live with $65 million.
It'd be hard. Kidding.
I couldn't do. There's a certain quality of life I require. $65 million is not
enough. Well, I don't know. I'm having to have more modest means. I could get by. It'd be hard. It'd be a struggle.
Yeah, you know.
You'd have to stop.
And might have to move to Mexico, man.
You'd have to stop.
$65 million. What are you gonna do?
Filling the pool up with.
I might have to retire in India. Work in a call center, man.
I'd have to stop filling the pool up with that expensive French champagne and switch to domestic stuff.
All right, so. High-level reviews of the movie.
Well done. It's a good movie, good drama. Although not necessarily following the true events, it's still watchable. You get sucked into it really quick.
I enjoyed it. I don't know why it was nominated for the best movie.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. I'll step in there. Oh,
I was going to say, I enjoyed it, and I understand exactly why it was nominated for best movie. Because it was dialogue driven, it was heady, it was not action centric, it was not.
It's a character driven story.
It's a character driven story. Well, kind of. It towed the line of being a character piece, but it really was more plot driven than like a Scorsese movie, as a good example, because his stuff is a lot more character driven. And it kind of took a snapshot of the character, but it really didn't. There was not a character arc or anything to really get behind.
I thought, in a year of really good movies, I think this was like a better year for movies than in a lot of years, because there aren't that many good movies that come out anymore. But in a year when there were movies like The Fighter and Shutter Island and all these great movies that I really liked, I thought this was the best movie of the year, and probably the best movie I've seen in the last 3 or 4 years.
Why is that? What was so good about it?
Well, it does a lot of things very well, and it also serves the dual role of being like an interesting social commentary and a good historical piece and a comedy, which is not something that you usually put all together. And I like the characters. I thought the characters are very strong. I mean, even though they didn't necessarily have arcs. They were all just college kids. I really don't know how much of an arc their life could have in such a short amount of time.
Well, it only depicts a period of between 2003 and 2008.
Yeah, I mean, and they're all basically the same. And, you know, I thought that...
I think that's appropriate for this kind of story, though.
It is.
That their characters don't change. It informs the situation they're at, that's like the bookend of the show, which is the legal case going on. Because that's like the meta plot, and then they use that to go back and do flashbacks to tell the story that led up to the point of the lawsuit.
There are a couple of guys, I think, that do change. One of the main ones is Eduardo Saverin, and I think Eduardo's character changes because he doesn't ever read his best friend absolutely correctly, because Zuckerberg is such a withdrawn person, more of an obsessed,
personality. He is obsessive, and he is very somewhat withdrawn, but he's also, I would say, almost a passive aggressive.
Well, he's calculated, I think.
Yeah, calculated. I mean, he'll sit there and punch you verbally, and then when you get upset, he's all surprised at it.
Yeah,
and so I've pointed out people in the past, and you know what I'm talking about, that that there are some people that play the martyr card, mm-hmm. and Zuckerberg fits that persona.
You think he played the martyr card?
Well, and what I mean by that, just so I can, so my point is clear. There are some people that you, they start off from a basis of people will disappoint me. So no matter what, good things are going to happen. One, they're not going to disappoint me, and that's good. Or two, they will disappoint me, and I'm right. So no matter what, it's a win-win for the for that mindset, for that mentality. And Zuckerberg kind of has that.
We're talking about, and we're talking about the character right, Zuckerberg in the movie. Yes. We don't really know who the real Zuckerberg is.
No, I'm talking about
the real Zuckerberg.
Well, I know you guys chat on IM and whatnot, but
we're Facebook friends.
His only friend.
He's the only person he talks to on Facebook.
But yeah, the character of Zuckerberg, you're saying, is one of those people.
Yeah, and for the record, we're talking. Anytime we mention any real people, we're talking about the characters in the movie.
Right. As depicted.
Characters as they're depicted in the movie. In case you didn't realize.
Well, the reason I say that is because...
The reason we say that is because we have a lot of legal power behind this podcast.
No.
F you.
No, not that. Just the idea that since Zuckerberg wasn't involved with the movie, I don't think it's... You know what I'm saying?
It's not fair to say
Zuckerberg's like this or like that. It's a fictional piece. It's not a historical
documentarian.
Yeah. It's
historical fiction.
Right, exactly.
It's recent history, but it's historical fiction.
Right.
And not too many people are going to know the backstory of how Facebook was created.
Right. So, yeah, I thought it was awesome. I thought it should have won the Academy Award for Best Picture.
No.
Mr. Padilla.
So, I didn't know anything about the nominees that I did not see, but as soon as I heard that the King's Speech is about a guy who overcomes a stutter to inspire a nation, I'm like, boom, winner, right there.
So, I know why that one was nominated.
I know why Black Swan was nominated, because lesbians. Crazy Chick and Lesbians. I don't know why 127 Hours was nominated.
Because the guy cut his arm off.
Guy cut his arm off in one piece. All right, but still.
Yeah, I couldn't see that movie in, like, nominated for best movie.
I couldn't.
Really? What?
Yeah. Inception. I know why Inception was nominated.
Because it was awesome.
Because it was innovative.
Yeah.
And that's something that we don't see.
That was carried off well.
Yeah, it was smart. It was entertaining. It could hold your attention.
Yeah, that was another one. That was a year of great movies.
That's what always surprises me. They're like, just because it has a lot of non-acting part, like a lot of science fiction in there, they won't give it a best movie.
Inception is one of those cool movies that, and it's based, technically it's a sci-fi movie, but it's really not. It's a heist picture. And the cool thing is, it's the science fiction is so glossed over and so hand wavy that, you know,
it's so accessible.
Yeah. It's really accessible to the mainstream.
Right, exactly.
The story and sci-fi is the setting.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So I understand.
And that's why Julie enjoyed it.
And I understand why True Grit was nominated.
I understand why True Grit was nominated.
I did not see the rest of the movies, so I can't comment as to why they were nominated. But I don't know why this movie...
Toy Story 3, which was just because that's a gimme anymore.
Winter's Bone.
That was okay.
That got it because of the title.
Because of the title.
Yeah.
The Fighter.
The Fighter.
That was a good movie.
Yeah. The Fighter was a good movie.
Right. The Kids Are All Right.
I have no
more lesbians. That was about,
more lesbians.
Lesbian.
So I suspect that's why that was nominated. But I knew King's Speech was going to win as soon as I found out what it was about.
I thought this was the best movie of the year, by far.
Social Network?
Yeah. I mean, this was the year that Inception, The Fighter, and Shutter Island all came out this year, and I thought those were, like, I was like, these movies are great. This is, like, the best year in movies I've seen in, like, a few years.
I would have picked Inception. I mean, I understand why they gave it to King's Speech. I mean, I don't have, I cannot explain it, but I understand. But it's like, come on, man, you're still stuck to the old monarchy. Who gives a fuck if a king cannot speak?
Just get over it. When I heard the premise of the story, it sounded a lot to me like the Glenn Beck program. But then, you know, you can just tune into that like on a daily basis. So I saw no reason to see the movie.
By the way, have you seen Sucker Punch?
No, I've heard it's good. Mostly from you.
Yeah. Oh, bitch, what's else
we will.
I hear it all the time. It's good, but it's only you who's telling me.
It's him that's telling me it's good, all over and over.
Don't listen to anyone else. Because everyone else says it's terrible. Just ignore them.
Usually, when everyone says a movie is terrible, that makes me
think
it might be good.
Yeah, everyone says something.
It's like they have a reason to come out so hard against the movie. It happens like that all the time.
Or
like,
maybe expectations are way high.
Yeah, that might be it.
Well, after 300 Watchmen, Zack Snyder had a certain reputation to live up to.
300.
They didn't like Watchmen.
300 lived up to my expectation, but not Watchmen.
Nobody saw Watchmen.
I loved Watchmen.
Nobody saw Watchmen. That's the problem.
He thinks that's the best movie ever.
Ever.
That's questionable.
Man,
that is a questionable statement.
They didn't close the movie right. I mean,
no.
Whoa.
They did not.
Whoa.
You are correct.
Are you saying they did not close the movie the way they did in the comic? Or right?
No. Right.
You know what?
I've explained this to you.
Yes, let's do Watchmen.
We are going
to
do
this to you.
Watchmen. Give me Oscar, man. I stutter. I don't understand, man. I hated it. Like, why do you always have to go with, you know, the weak linger?
Yeah, yes.
Inception was good movie, man. It deserved it.
Overcoming a physical adversity is no longer a valid plot.
Yeah, I did too.
Here, we have the same.
For first 10 years of my life, I couldn't have my dick stand up, and then I masturbated. I should get an Oscar. What the fuck, man? Bullshit. I hated that Oscar shit.
You are officially a full-time cast member.
That's right.
For full-time host of the show.
All right. Come on. It's like, come on. He's still obsessed with monarchy.
See,
and the Britishers are gone.
This is why I don't understand why The Social Network didn't win, because his disability was he was an asshole. They talked about it the entire movie.
He was intentionally trying to be an asshole, but he wasn't. I just think that he didn't understand that people would.
Yes.
The problem with his character is that he would do things that are assholish, not understand it, and then when people got pissed, he's like, what I do?
I
and that just happens over and over again.
I totally relate to that.
Yes, kudos to Rashida Jones, by the way, the hot lawyer on his team.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I thought they were going to do something.
Me too.
I was just hoping they'd go out for dinner and some action. But
then, as consistent with the movie, instead he gets on Facebook and just looks at the girl he broke up with. And refreshes over and over again.
Well, that was the idea at the end of the movie, is the man who creates the site that wants people to have friends doesn't have any friends.
Right.
And he keeps trying to friend the one person who will reject him all the time.
He built this so he could stalk her.
Yes.
Clearly. The more
I don't know.
The premise of the film is he built Facebook to stalk her.
That's true.
You think that's the premise of the film?
No.
Well, that's what I use the site for, so I don't know.
That's what a lot of people use the site for.
Is your wife one?
No, my dad is, though.
Oh, he'll be fine.
I'm not stalking my dad, though. just getting that in the open.
Yes, the score was awesome. The score...
By Trent Reznor.
Yeah, and it won. And
Did Trent Reznor not look really awkward when he accepted that award?
Yeah.
I didn't watch that.
Who is that guy who looks really uncomfortable? I'm like, that's Trent Reznor.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's what he looks like?
What was the score?
The Nine Inch Nails guy, basically. It was all that techno stuff. The electronica.
Oh, you mean like Oscars?
Yeah, he won the Academy Award for Best Soundtrack or Best Score.
Best Score.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was the country, some country sing.
No, that was best song.
Best song, okay.
But did that
I don't know.
For country strong.
Country strong. Oh,
country
that
strong.
Win?
Country strong.
Ew.
I don't know why it got
Toy Story.
It was from the movie
Country Strong.
The
Gwyneth Paltrow flick.
It was from Inception. Where have you been?
No, I thought
Paltrow.
I thought the Oscar should have gone for the song. To, what was it? 27? 127? What was it?
127 hours.
I think that song was much better, even when they performed it live. And it was like,
whoa, what song?
I don't know.
I didn't even know there was a song.
I only half paid attention to the music.
So when do I replace him?
now. Go.
You
didn't bring microphones, so.
Listen, Tony, top down car, come on. Wind in my hair, I felt young and alive.
No heartburn.
No heartburn, yeah.
So let's talk about the acting.
Acting.
The acting was fantastic.
Fantastic.
All the way around.
Yep.
It
was pretty awesome. Sean Parker, I mean, Justin Timberlake as Sean Parker.
He was great.
Had him down to a B as being
he was
the fast talking.
Yeah, he drew your eye every scene he was in.
The thing is,
he was really magnetic. He had a great personality.
And that's what I think they were trying to do, was make him the perfect opposite of Zuckerberg, because he's everything Zuckerberg's not. Zuckerberg was latched onto him
because he wanted to be him very badly.
I don't think so. I think it's more that he was the perfect opposite of Eduardo, mm-hmm. and he complimented Zuckerberg lot better.
Well, yeah.
Than Eduardo did.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, that just did.
Well, the bottom line is Sean Parker knew what probably even more than Zuckerberg did in the movie. What he had, and Eduardo Saverin wasn't treating Zuckerberg's project with the seriousness that Zuckerberg felt it deserved.
I disagree. I think that Eduardo was too locked in the idea of old business, yep.
and he was playing it safe.
And he was his motivation was more in, you know, we've got this great thing. We need to build out slowly. We need to do slow rollouts.
Yeah, yeah.
This is
exactly where he goes wrong. He's like, we need to build this, and Zuckerberg tells him from day one. He's like, no, we don't need to build it. We need to let people build it for us.
But
Sean Parker shows up and he's like,
yeah.
Hey,
yep.
I started Napster to give people things for free, and then it exploded because people wanted to be involved.
Right, yeah.
And Zuckerberg's like, you are saying the things that I want to communicate to Eduardo, but I do not have the ability to communicate what my...
But there's also a different juxtaposition, and maybe it's the social thing, that Eduardo is obsessed with getting into that club, and Zuckerberg says, look, we have our own club now. It's this. Mm-hmm. And he's still concentrating more on getting into the old clubs than he is on the thing that should be consuming all of his time.
But see, and that's the metaphor of the, I mean, of the character, is that, you know, the greater personality flaw of that character is that he is stuck in the old ways. They show that more literally by him wanting to get in the old club when they're building the new club.
Okay.
And it's the same thing with business. He's stuck in the old ways of business.
Doing the internship and doing all
that
stuff.
Instead of focusing on building the new business model, which is everything that Facebook became about, was building the new business model.
And that is why Zuckerberg and this guy cannot get along. Because Eduardo wants to get by in what's already there. And Zuckerberg's like, we'll just make something new. Who cares? We'll just make our own kingdom.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't think the difference is that what's the character's name from the Napster guy?
Sean Parker.
So the thing is, Sean Parker and the Facebook Zuckerberg, they both are technology guys.
Yeah.
And the guy was a business guy.
Right.
So he understood there's something going on. He saw the business, he funded it as a friend and as a business. But then he couldn't.
But he also didn't understand how the business was going to make money.
No. He was not there yet. I mean, that part was way farther. And the thing is, Sean Parker was already, you know, played the game. He was burnt out. He knew what was going on. As soon as he saw something,
he's like, "Hey, this
as
is
a technology part." Yeah, as a technology,
this is my comeback.
Right,
that's exactly what
he had. He had his revenge going on with people. He had his comeback. He had been waiting for. He was a technology guy, so he could see Zuckerberg, and you know they connected on it. And plus, he and Zuckerberg. Well, Zuckerberg, I think, was keeping himself blind about the bad parts of Sean Parker. He just did not want... He saw it, but he avoided it. And the business guy saw it.
I think that was a calculation.
Well,
you know, how much could Sean Parker hurt him at that point?
He did not see it. He saw it, but he was intentionally blind on it.
I don't know if he was intentionally blind, but I think there was... That at some point he becomes aware that Sean Parker is a tool.
No,
he uses Sean Parker as a tool.
No, no, no. Sean Parker used him as a tool. I don't think he used Sean Parker as a tool. Sean Parker used him as a tool. You know how much Sean Parker owns of Facebook?
7% of it.
Mm-hmm. You know how much is that? That's out of 50 billion?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
a lot.
Whose tool? Yeah, so, no, the thing is, but the business guy saw it.
He used a tool to get rid of Eduardo.
I think the bottom, no, I think the bottom line is,
well, Eduardo also made a horrible blunder
by cutting the money.
Entrusting the business.
And he cut the money. That was a big deal,
too. That was the biggest mistake.
Because he,
you don't cut the money.
Right. He basically stuck a thumb in the eye of the creator, and that is always a mistake. You know,
he was in a spot where he saw what Sean Parker was doing, and he was getting, you know, he couldn't come closer to Zuckerberg than Sean Parker.
Exactly.
And he blew it up.
And that is
and that's his reaction to that Sean Parker and Zuckerberg chemistry was so wrong that he blew it up.
And that is a prime example of that character in general. His reactions to everything that happens is just wrong.
Well,
it's exactly. Eduardo.
They're not wrong. They're based on how things used to be.
Yeah, they're not.
But he can't even.
Solutions.
But he can't even make a traditional company stock swap with attorneys because he's not smart enough to get his own attorney.
Yes. Well, yeah.
That whether it's old business or new business
is
just
these are the business's attorneys. I'm part of the business.
Yeah,
so yes, of course.
I think you're reading the character too much. It's not that. It's very simple. The guy was a business guy. He didn't understand technology. Just because he did not understand technology, some trust was there, but then mistrust was there. So it was complicated.
Yeah.
It's not like two people.
I think the
Parker guy was really smart.
No, I don't think it's that simple because Sorkin's not that simple of a writer, for one thing. And I think it's really this is showing the difference between old business and new business. Between
that's true.
Old media and new media. You know,
I agree with that. But the new media is technology and the business guy does not
understand
technology.
That's why Sean has exploded to the extent that it has because of the new business model. Yeah.
Need another beer, buddy.
This is new media, brother.
Hey, we had 7,500 downloads last month, which is like ridiculous. How do we do that? We release 3 times a week.
Yep,
that's hey.
Content,
doing it,
winning.
It's a business model. We're winning. But
Tracy said they used each other.
That's true.
Yep,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, it was. It was
mutual
a marriage
until Eduardo froze the accounts, and then
that put them closer together.
No,
right?
And then Zuckerberg's like,
"No, I think this was referring back to when we were talking about Zuckerberg and Parker."
They
used each other. It was a mutual use. It was.
They each got what they wanted out of the relationship.
It was their date. One got dinner out of it. The other got sex out of it. It was, you know.
No, it was. I'll say this. They thought they were using each other. But in the end, the bigger player was Sean Parker.
Huh?
Sean Parker was the bigger player. Zuckerberg thought he's getting something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But what he paid for getting that thing was way too much. I mean, Sean Parker got him the first flight.
It's amazing that Parker got 7% of this. When he didn't do, I mean, according
well, he did a lot.
Yes,
the way the movie portrayed it, he didn't anything.
The initial
he was the consultant, basically.
The initial funding.
Well, he put him in touch with the right
to launch Facebook,
the right guys, because he'd already been through the mill on this one time, and that's worth anything.
He produced the VC guys,
and then I don't know if this is true, but then the scene where he tells Zuckerberg to just wear like he just got out of bed. Go up there and tell him he's 20 minutes late. Fuck off. And then they're so impressed by the cojones of these two guys that they give him more money. And that's just, like, awesome. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but 7% of Facebook was awesome, man.
Zuckerberg needed Sean's experience and advice. Sean needed money in the Playboy lifestyle. Well put, Tracy.
Well put.
True.
Well put.
All right.
Where are we now? Which is the character? Like?
Yeah,
I think the acting was solid all around. Eduardo was great.
Yeah, Eduardo was good.
I'm excited for the new Spider-Man movie, considering he's got some acting chops. So, Andrew Garfield is Eduardo is Peter Parker in the new Spider-Man.
What happened to Donald Glover?
That was a rumor. Only.
Yeah, I know. It was the rumor I wanted to be true.
I love the episode where they open it up and he's wearing the Spider-Man pajamas. I was yes.
If the thing is, for supporting actor role for Oscar was a very tough fight.
Yeah, it was.
It was a very tough fight.
Male or female?
Oh, for male.
Male.
I don't think there was any female nominated from Facebook.
Oh, for social media. No.
There was hardly any female acting in the movie, though. I mean, it was very limited.
Well, yeah, that's where they got some of the.
We're watching this whole movie, and at one point, we're in the last 10 minutes of the movie. Julie's like, "Why is Rashida Jones even in this?" You know, she's got
Tony. Jesus, come on.
Well, that's where this movie gets busted.
And that one line she delivers at the end of the movie was the whole reason they needed a decent actress to make it.
Right.
Yeah.
And they needed somebody who was hot, so it would draw his eye.
Sure.
Well, one other thing too is this movie gets busted on for the amount of. Depiction.
Hardcore male nudity?
Well, not hardcore male nudity, but for the amount of busting on women that it did. I mean, the women in this movie are basically either girlfriends, sluts.
But it's their fraternity.
Yeah.
That's the whole
thing. It's a frat life.
Right. Yeah. It's their fraternity. They created it out of thin air.
When you have two programmers who have awkward relationships with women.
That sounds like perfect realism. Yeah. Right? I'm seriously.
That's where a lot of people could have.
Awkward and weird in general.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably a lot of guys could identify.
Nuts, man.
That was awesome.
It was a great scene.
That was the best.
She sets his
scarf on fire.
Gift on fire, and they're talking, and he's like, I can understand. This is about canceling. I can understand you were a little upset. And he's like, I was! And he's like blasting the thing with the fire extinguisher. There's some good, there's some funny scenes in that movie.
Best stereotype you can get for Asian controlling women.
Yeah. You haven't changed your relationship status. I don't know how.
CFO of Facebook doesn't know how to change his relationship status on Facebook.
That was funny.
That was great.
Well, that almost mirrors the line at the end where he's like, you're the business end of this company and you don't understand that you made a bad business deal with your own company. I mean, that stuff keeps happening to that character over and over again.
But in
he's
reality,
out of his depth.
Eduardo is back in with Facebook, right? Like,
I thought they permanently severed.
No, his name... I think his name
is restored to the
masthead. His name is restored to the masthead, but that's it.
He settled for an unknown amount, which means a lot.
I would bet he's got a percentage. He's probably got stock.
He's got probably,
I'm just guessing,
14% because that's what initially started with.
Now the character and the way Jesse Eisenberg played Zuckerberg, I thought was fantastic. Just because I know guys like that are programmers that are just nerds. Well, they're so smart that you're talking to them and they're carrying on a conversation with you. They're not looking at you. They're like staring right here, and they're carrying on a conversation. And you can tell they're thinking about something completely different and solving some problem that is you can't even understand.
And he's remarkably impatient with a lot of the people around him.
And that's how they are.
Yes. And the difference with Sean Parker is that he feels like Sean Parker gets him in a way, or gets who he is, or where he wants to go. So he doesn't have to be impatient with Sean Parker because Sean Parker's been there. He's been through it all.
Like, he doesn't have to explain it.
I understand this personality 100%. If we start discussing something and the person I'm discussing with doesn't 100% immediately get everything I get right off the bat, I get frustrated. Pissed.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention.
We've seen you have conversations with Melina.
Yeah, I know. If she doesn't get what I'm talking about in the first 5 seconds, like, man, I get frustrated.
What?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Already gone.
I was solving some deep problem in my mind. Maybe you want to throw that one at me again.
Like, where are you getting beer for next week?
I'm getting beer for the rest of the night.
No, but the acting was awesome. Like, his way of walking, like, always wearing the floaters or slippers, and you know, it's like, you know, distant character. Yeah. It's like he's not involved in the world.
Right.
He's unsocial, like, you know, just...
Do you feel that he's too busy? Your attention?
No.
No.
I'm back at the offices of Facebook, where I'm solving problems that you will never understand.
And your clients...
Minimum.
And your clients do not have the...
The capacity.
The intellectual capacity.
Yeah.
That speech right there was the best speech in the movie.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that this could have been written by anybody but Sorkin. The dialogue was just so solid.
I would say, I mean, isn't it Sorkin that basically decided he wanted to create this project? I mean, it's an original screenplay, right?
No, it was based on the book.
Based on a book.
Well, it's
called The Accidental Billionaires.
Okay, but that's not written in like an... Well, I don't know, but it's not written in a narrative style, is it?
No.
I mean, he created the screenplay out of the
recollections of this guy, the author of that book.
So, I mean, it's...
Apparently, he tapped into Natalie Portman, too, who was a student... During the period of time when these guys were doing this at
Harvard? So that's the movie star they're talking about?
Exactly.
I didn't know that.
Who's the movie star? It's not important. That's Natalie Portman.
Okay.
And he actually I guess he left that in as a nod to her because when he was like at some dinner party at her house and he's like started talking about this project and she like hooked him up with a bunch of people who were going to school there at the time that Facebook was going building on. Out. Mm-hmm. And so he got some
inside info on what Mark was
really
like.
Not just what Mark was like, but the dynamic of building out this new thing of social media, this social network that was building that was so different than anything that had been done in the past.
Do you guys think those fraternity guys who initially called him to program for? The Zuckerberg to program for him.
The Winklevosses?
Yeah. Do you think they had any intellectual contribution to Facebook or what? Not a legal opinion, but as a general opinion. What
I'm not qualified to give legal opinion.
But since we don't pretend to, we can.
Yes.
Their ideas.
So we're allowed to. We're actually allowed to give legal opinions.
You are.
Some people can't.
Their contribution was pretty minimal, and they had a pretty weak case to start with. But
it's an interesting question though because they had a concept for something, and he had a concept for something that was tangentially to what they had. I mean, he might not have gotten the same concept or wouldn't have gotten it as soon had he not talked to them.
Well, what pissed them off though in this characters of this movie is the fact that he strung them along for a month. Saying he was working on it, he was working on it, he was working on it. If he had just walked out the door and said, "Nah, I don't think I want to work on this," and gone off in his own direction.
He never said he was working on it. He said, I'll work on it, I haven't had time. I'll work on it, I haven't had time.
Well, you know what they said to him, which made him separate from them mentally, was they said, "Look, we need, you know, you need to rehabilitate your image. We can do this for you." And he goes, "Oh, really? Is that what you would do for me?" Basically the same thing that his girlfriend says to him in the opening monologue.
Yep.
And so he goes, "Well, basically, forget you guys. I'm going to go my
way." Well, that's the one thing about him is he's driven to prove himself against everybody.
Right.
And I've got to prove to myself I'm more clever than the rest of you will ever be.
I didn't get the vibe about being more clever. I got to prove myself.
I think he just factually knows that he is better. I think what it is is about
fitting in. He can't fit in, so he creates the world that
the
he will fit in.
World.
Yeah.
Where he controls everything.
He's the frat king.
If you're looking for somebody who desperately needs approval, it's a war.
Yeah.
That's true. The entire movie, he's desperately seeking anyone's approval. Never gets
it. I don't know if you guys
see the difference. And Sean Parker seeks the approval of a lot of women in the film.
And he gets it.
The thing is, like, I thought the really good part was first when they tried to, like, talk down to him as if they were cool and he was not, so it pissed him off.
Right.
Second, he was not there. He had an idea, and he said it to them. What do you have that is different from MySpace and Friendster?
Right.
Right. That was it. That
was a Harvard exclusivity.
That was the whole point. That was the whole point. He was struggling within himself because he couldn't fit anywhere. And he is like, all right, so now I'm going to create a world, virtual world, which I control, and I'll make it exclusive to some people. And that's what he struggled, and he couldn't start his project.
So
that's what he got from them.
But you have to realize is that this is not the story of Facebook. This is the story of Fanboy Smackdown and Backseat Producers.
Right.
Because I created this world that is exclusive.
Because you couldn't fit in anything.
Exactly.
Well, I remember when I suggested to you, Tony, that if we made this just our world, made it exclusive and only let people in we wanted.
Are you just going to make it?
Maybe.
Well, I'm actually just waiting for my settlement check.
Where are you going to keep?
As a result of all this.
Where are you going to keep the Indians out, man?
You're in?
No.
We finally brought them in.
No, I'm not talking about the feather one. Oh, the dot one. The dot.
You!
Yes!
You're me!
You're here! The tech support guy, man.
Bring in ethnicities just for equal opportunity.
I think we brought ethnicity in for comic value.
Are you saying about my contribution?
All right, man, I'm leaving.
So
that was like really interesting to me, like from a technology standpoint, that I could see him. I programmed for like a while as I was a programmer, so I could see him.
I'm actively a programmer.
Oh, you are. There you go.
So is that guy.
And you can connect, right? You have an idea. You want to start something.
Yeah.
Exactly. You do.
This is the thing. This is the thing about it. Because you're talking about, well, they had an idea, and then he took it and changed it. And this happens all the time, because somebody will say, man, I wish we had this. Then you see the potential of what they want and how it can just expand from what they want is just so narrow and stupid. But with a few tweaks, it can be so broad and expansive.
Well, so my legal understanding, as hopefully the future IP attorney, is that they didn't give him a shit that they could claim intellectual right to.
Right.
But if, as a programmer, I would give them credit because I had a bigger plan than them. I'm not saying they had a bigger plan than me. Mm-hmm. I had a bigger plan than them. But they gave me that breakthrough because I was struggling with how do I create something that is different from MySpace and
Facebook. Except you can't copyright an idea.
And you cannot. Yes, you can.
No.
I don't know, Tony. That's a pretty broad...
Mark Twain claims that nothing can be copyrighted.
Mark Twain's wrong.
Yeah, well... But his autobiography was ironically just released this last year.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot prove anything off of it.
They had the money to sit there and fight this thing.
Let's get an IP attorney here.
Let's get the whole Brickhouse law group on.
Win. I'm in for that.
Yeah.
And as the lawyer chick at the end says, this is not about right or wrong. This is about
a jury.
It's just about how sympathetic you're going to make this to a jury. And in the end, you know, you pay these guys off and move on.
Yeah.
I mean, they're more trouble than they're worth.
Yeah.
You want to solve your problem. You are all about solving your problems in the most efficient way possible.
True.
This is not the most efficient way possible to handle this. Just pay them and move on.
Right. But it was like really interesting because, I mean, I thought I would give the writer the credit to understand and put that storyline in there where he's like struggling and he's like, you know, he just broke up with this girl and he screws it even bigger by tweeting some or like saying something even, you know, more stupid than he initially did, something stupid. And
I love that the like 2000 live journal.
Yes.
The throwback live journal. And then I'm like, oh my god.
Then the face thing he created, which was like went
face
viral.
Mesh.
Face mesh, which went viral in Harvard. And so he had an idea, but he kept
running it off of his laptop. That was so great.
Yeah. It crashed the entire like Harvard server. So that was awesome.
I don't know that was a part of that that seemed.
That
yeah, it was fictional. Yeah. That probably can be fictional. But no, but this.
Some people in here fell for it. I'm not going to say who.
Yeah, 2003. There's no way that web traffic for a website hosted on that network is going to bring this.
I don't think there are that many students in Harvard who would have crashed that server.
Yeah.
Even if everyone logged in, I don't think the server...
At 4 o'clock in the morning, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I have a hard time believing that that Harvard has a crappy throughput in 2003.
Yeah. Well, but it was to create a story.
Yeah, it creates tension.
It depends on how old those servers are.
It creates credibility for the character because it's like, oh, he crashed the servers here.
So he's really smart. So
it also sets up his meeting with that board where you realize just how defiant he is. I mean, it's important in a lot of ways for the character.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it's a thing they come back to over and over again.
Right. Because if he was just doing it with the lawyers about halfway through the film, you'd be like, wow, when did he become such a jerk? But then in that first scene, he's like, oh, I think you ought to give me a lot of credit for showing you all the holes in your system. And it's like, we found you in 4 hours. He's
like,
the equation was on my window, so you really took a long time. You know, all that stuff.
I'm
you know.
Fairly certain that I got pretty much everything I needed to know about that character from the dialogue in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
That's true.
That opening scene was awesome.
You don't know that he has a problem with authority in that scene. And I think that's what was so interesting about
it. I don't think that he has a problem with authority. I think he just realizes that he is the smartest person in the room.
Yeah, but...
Period. And he proves it.
In an authoritarian scenario where you're not the authority, that becomes a problem with authority.
I don't think
that you're the smartest guy, and he was.
See, when a cop stops, you might be smarter than a cop, but you don't tell that to the cop.
But if you're socially inept...
Then you get a ticket.
Exactly.
So that's what his problem
is. I don't think that he necessarily has a problem with authority. He just has a problem with...
Stupid people.
...based on stupidity.
Yeah.
You crashed our servers.
What did I do wrong?
Yeah.
That's still a problem with authority, though. I mean, in its own way.
Yeah, which I'm fine, yeah.
He's not like an anarchist. I mean, obviously.
No.
But the point is, like...
He's a major world power.
Right now?
Yeah, crashed not because of my turgids.
Look at Egypt.
Third largest. Inadequate hardware.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a world power now.
The overarching impact of that kind of media, that Facebook is really the
third largest population worldwide, next to India and China. It's Facebook.
Facebook Nation.
Yep.
But, like...
Facebook Planet.
Planet, yeah.
Facebook Universe!
Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
All right. Get another beer, buddy.
So how long is Facebook going to last?
How long?
Until it collapses on itself.
It won't.
No, it's not going to last
forever. Until something better comes along.
First off, there's the ability to enter that market is gone. It's like...
I don't know if that's true. I think entry in that market is very fluid because the technology is always changing.
The market changes. The social network market is constantly evolving.
Completely agree with you, but people won't change.
No.
People won't change, and Facebook is flexible enough of a company that they can change with the people.
Nah.
Well,
I think the problem. I think Facebook's bigger problem is that it's complex. It is a more complex system than like a Twitter is. Twitter is a very simple system that has other things leeching onto it.
It's significantly less popular.
What Facebook I think needs to do is
significantly.
It needs to.
It is more used than Facebook.
Take it from a guy who knows nothing about programming and is also not that interested ever in Facebook. If they made themselves a way where my desktop was Facebook, and my internet engine was Facebook, and everything I was doing was entirely integrated into the Facebook profile.
How about a Facebook
phone? That would
be
the next move.
Actually, the next move is
nobody would have said,
and that's possible.
Google will get their ass kicked in terms of the money they make from ads. Facebook kicked their ass in terms of money Facebook is making from ads.
And did Google collapse?
No.
What do they do?
They're going heavy in infrastructure.
No. They're doing
a shitload of stuff.
This is where I'm saying that Facebook is limited. Zuckerberg is trying really hard to come up. First, there was like he was going to come out with a Facebook phone. That idea just collapsed. It didn't even fly with anyone.
So they're still talking about it.
They're still talking about it. But
They'll
be talking about it. I don't think there is going to be a Facebook phone. And if there is, I'm probably not going to get it. And most of the people won't.
I would think it would be more likely that we'll see a Facebook tablet before we'd see a Facebook phone.
What does Facebook phone or tablet bring to...
Yeah.
It doesn't.
That's exactly.
It is what you talked
always
about,
on.
Though, if it's always on. If it is the operating system of the device.
Here's the
if I can lose. But you know what? No. Because if I can play Farmville on it, then I can then
here's the difference.
Then my mom or my grandma is likely to get one.
The thing is, you can more likely than not in your house
and turn Google on.
Your phone is always on.
If you turn Facebook off, it's off. Do you understand
the technology? I understand it.
They don't make money if you turn it off. So, and there, no one. Eventually, people are going to get tired of Facebook, and they're going to start turning it off for something
and,
else.
And that's the point that I made.
It will die.
Well, the best way to do it, but the best way to get beyond that barrier is Facebook. To make it totally so integrated with your entire OS. Right. That's what I think you need. Not the phone. The phone is still peripheral. I mean, the computer is still more the center of the people's lives than the phone. It always will be.
And I think the tablet, that's what I said, it's a tablet. A Facebook tablet is more likely than a Facebook phone is.
Microsoft can come up with a tablet. Google made themselves smart enough to already move away from just small search engine to a phone and tablet. So they can come up with a tablet now, which is going to be more popular than like Apple or Microsoft. So Google has already conquered that market. But Facebook has never entered there. They haven't branched out yet into things that they can claim. And Google has already taken that spot. Right.
Facebook is entirely software.
Yeah.
There's no hardware associated.
And as things grow bigger, they become more complicated and they become less flexible. And as programmers, you would know.
Would Facebook ever have to go hardware?
API is the easiest API on the planet.
I don't see why Facebook would ever want to go hardware.
Okay, let me get a word in edgewise here.
Sure.
No.
The whole thing about Facebook is it's not about the hardware and software, it's about the people.
Right.
And there's still only, you know, it still only has 500 million users out of a population of the planet Earth.
Okay, let's get realistic about the number of users, though. How many people put their dogs and cats and fish and crap like that on there? How many 12-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 9-year-olds, infants, their newborn children already have Facebook accounts, even though it's against terms of service?
But more people have befriended Fluffy than they have my Facebook account. Anyway, go ahead.
I sent you a request.
Yeah, I never go to Facebook. Go ahead.
There's still a huge amount of potential population that isn't connected yet. They don't have computers. They don't have internet. The only thing they have is their cell phones or some other hardware device. Somewhere along the line, somebody's going to integrate the two together and make it all there. And then it's already there, but it's not to the point where everybody can afford it. Not everybody in the freaking world would have an excuse not to have it. The other thing is it's this Facebook has gone beyond just mere friending. I mean, it's started revolutions.
There's poking
now.
Too. I heard about that.
I'm having sex on the Facebook.
Yeah.
Go ahead, though. I'm sorry.
It started revolutions.
And we play
it's
chess.
It's what people are using now to communicate back and forth. I mean, more so than text or even voice phone. Heck, I'm seeing that in my business already. It's still got a long way to go, and it's still got a lot of potential. I mean, the moment you start, as you said, the moment you integrate it into your life, it becomes your personal operating system.
That's what that's what Google did with respect to everything I do, internet wise. Now, see, that's what I think is impressive about Google. Everything I do now, if it's on the internet,
exactly.
I do through Google.
You're about 2 years behind.
Well,
because
it's still what I do.
Whoa! Email is dying.
It's already dead.
It's already dead.
I'm not talking about Gmail. That. I'm talking about
I'm talking about email in general is significantly less.
I'm not talking about Gmail. That's just one aspect.
I'm talking about
Google, the company. I'm talking about my browser, my reader, my email, everything. Probably my next phone.
I'm the one who's arguing with about email dying.
No. Oh.
Well,
it's not dying. It is significantly less used now than it was 3 years ago.
Here, my point is I'm going to open up my OS, and it's going to be Google, and I'm going to click on the internet, and it's going to be my Google browser, which is going to look up. I open up to my Google
Tony
reader.
The point exactly I'm saying is that Facebook has not yet branched out. And
I agree.
But
if you're not the
has
first,
branched out just recently.
Sometimes you never
now you
get
have
there.
Facebook email addresses.
Google has gone after the infrastructure.
Yeah.
With apps, Gmail,
that's exactly
News Reader, all
operating
the
system,
Yeah.
For phones, for computers, they're going to give out free operating systems for everything. Your phone operating system is free.
Completely
free. So they already conquered the market, which Facebook is going to be almost impossible now to enter.
There can be another level of integration which Google has not yet achieved, though.
But I
would disagree.
In some ways, I almost see that the old way was Microsoft versus Apple, and I think the powerhouses are going to be more Google and Facebook.
Yep.
as the biggest competing interests in
terms of
computer
ad money.
I see you, Tracy.
I don't see what.
Google doesn't make the majority of their income from ads anymore.
No, they don't.
So
that's exactly
paid searches, isn't
Facebook
it?
Facebook can win. Facebook can win that because Google has got everything else.
Yep.
The only arena that Google will always lose to Facebook is the social arena.
That's true.
They've tried.
They came late. Miserably. Yeah.
They
cannot enter that arena.
But that's okay because there really are, like, for example, there's the phone that they market to you for, you know, social and pleasure, which is the iPhone, and then there's the business, the BlackBerry phone.
Joke and punchline.
There's two different
markets. Microsoft phone.
There's two different markets. I mean, Facebook can always be the social network market. And Google, to me, I mean, the reason I use Google for everything, the reason I spend my time on the internet on Google and not on Facebook is because it's doing things that are interesting to me, that are more research-oriented things, that are more knowledge-oriented.
It's an interesting shift, especially in light of this movie, because you keep talking about how old business meets the Facebook model. Facebook and Google are the new Microsoft and Apple because they don't have the big business mentality of, this is the way we've always done it. We're always going to do it this way.
Well, they have no...
Both companies are so flexible and so willing to go after the new geniuses that we're producing. They're not intimidated by new intelligence.
Right.
They have no old infrastructure they got to protect.
Exactly. Yeah,
Google. I mean, the only thing Google has to protect is... I mean, and they don't even have to protect it, but they were built on the search engine. Facebook was built on social.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever they go from there... That's just where they started.
Yeah.
The difference is GM is always going to make cars. And they're only going to make cars. Now they may branch off into motorcycles or airplane engines or they're not going to branch out
into motorcycles. They're not going to replace Harley because they came second.
Right. Yeah, unless they buy it.
That's
See, here's the,
and then it's just that. Yeah. They just absorb it.
Think about this is what Facebook could make my coffee, then I would be on Facebook.
Make your coffee.
I'd open up the desktop.
I can tell you how Facebook can make your coffee.
You click on it. It sends a signal to my coffee maker. I make the coffee. I'm still on Facebook,
I can write you that app.
Well, there you go. I mean, those are the things that people want. Everyday people like me who don't know a damn thing about programming. Those are the things we want.
And it'll send you a message on your phone when it's done.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
That's the kind of stuff. It's got to be all integrated.
It's there.
Your whole life.
Like your washing machine
on
the phone.
You set the alarm on your phone. You say, I want these things done. I want coffee on Mondays. I don't want coffee on Tuesdays. I want coffee on Wednesdays. I work out Thursdays. I don't need coffee, but I'm going to need nice water. So you just set your alarm. Your phone's like, Deuce, it's time to get out of bed.
Right.
Your water's ready, Deuce.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that voice.
And then 50 years in the future, when all the nuclear reactors melt down, we'll all be homeless and die. Because there will be no electricity to run anymore.
Not if I have my coffee, Daryl. Everything will be fine.
There's no electricity to run your coffee.
We'll have a new way of producing electricity.
There's an app. There's got to be an app on my
phone. Yeah, there's a recover reactor app. One big button. Everyone's got it.
There's going to be a new source of energy soon.
It's called leg power. You'll be generating it yourself.
I think we're going to be wrapping up at some point here. I think the script's probably one of the best scripts.
It was good written script.
Ever written.
Yes.
Ever. Great script.
It does
a lot of things at the same time very well in 2 hours, which is not...
You're compressing a very fast story here.
It is a great script.
It's a very good script.
One thing I didn't realize, and it surprised me because I was looking at some of the trivia. They actually edited down like some of the language to make it PG-13. I didn't realize it was a PG-13 movie.
Exactly.
And that says something because I've gotten so used to thinking of PG-13 movies as
kiddie fodder.
Immature. Mm. And there's a lot of them that have been that they do it to broaden the market, and that's exactly why they cleaned up the language in a few places in this movie, was to give it a broader market to for people to be able to go to, because quite frankly most of the users of Facebook, I mean there are a number of users of Facebook that would not have been able to go see it if it were R-rated because they wouldn't have been old enough.
Most PG-13 movies start with they're a PG movie and then they ratchet it up into 13.
No, it's R and ratcheting down PG-13. Yeah.
I would think if you're going to aim for that demographic, that teen and preteen demographic, you're going to ratchet it up to reach that demographic.
No, it's all going to be easier to reach it up. Down.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Like the fuck you song.
Well, yeah, but okay.
Forget you.
Fair enough.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was, and that's, and that, and that was
the
punch
out of the movie, and you don't want to listen to "Fuck You." Only one "Fuck You" song.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's why I have watched a few PG-13 horror movies, and you know what?
I
am not interested in watching them anymore. There's nothing to them. No. There's no punch.
Those aren't R-rated horror movies, really.
Huh?
I say there's a shock or gore.
Anymore? Yeah.
They're all horror movies, mostly R-rated because. I mean, that's how it sells, I guess.
Yeah.
You want to be shocked? You want to be shocked? You want to see some titties?
Event Horizon.
Yeah.
It was scary that movie got made.
It's scary you got made.
Bad. We've had this discussion. That movie was not good.
That movie was great. I don't know what
they're talking about. Yeah, but very well written. Very well written.
And that's all I got on the social network.
Yeah.
Last thing on social network.
Keep no.
Yeah, last thing. Poke, poke, poke. But anyway, last thing. The thing is, one takeaway point from this movie is the people who create new things are not necessarily the best people in the world.
Dislike.
I don't know. Unfriend.
There is no like. There is
unfriend
no
this man.
Yep.
Well, having not created anything new, I take that as a huge compliment, Daryl.
That's why this movie was depressing. God, this guy did all this before he was 23.
Oh, and he's already youngest billionaire in the world.
Yep. Yeah, that's one thing I can't do now. Out. Damn it.
Missed the boat.
Trillionaire.
Son of a bitch.
There you go. Damn,
that's true.
Unless nobody's he beats done me that there. Yet. Unless he beats me there.
No, I don't know. Maybe Gaddafi and they've already beaten you to that, man.
Yeah, but
you don't know how much money they have. They never make it to Forbes.
That's list. True.
I'm sure they are richer than Bill Gates.
All right, so when can I look for that coffee app from you, Adam? Is that going to be next week or tomorrow?
Are you a coffee maker?
No, I don't.
I can't open it.
But I will work on that.
If you get one of those, I will write you the app.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Lava lamp has a cron job on it. Okay.
That's awesome.
That is my commitment to you.
It's beautiful. I think that might be what I spend my money on. What little
crime jobs? Well, I guess you would if you set up appointments.
Yeah.
But I think Facebook has an internal service timer that you can put to. Mm.
Excellent.
I've done a little bit of Facebook integration. It's so much easier to use somebody else's authentication provider. So I'm never going to be able to compete with Google, Amazon, or Facebook security.
Yeah.
They're even not. Twitter. Even though Twitter.
Just create your own security. Isn't that the lesson of this movie?
Yes.
Yeah, that's my. I don't have a team of security experts. That's
not yet.
No, Zuckerberg was one man.
Yeah, he was in like 2003.
I was security at a picnic. Well, I'll work for you for free.
7 years later, they're going to be like, oh, it was 2011.
Protest.
Come on, man.
We'll make it exclusive, then he'll protest it. It will be huge.
You have to find something nascent to do that.
You know, we need to get some. We need to get some just protests on backseat producers. Some, you know, some kind of controversial.
There's so much nascent technology right now.
I know.
Somebody's got to be against us. What have we done? Somebody's got to be.
Follow me on Twitter. Josh is against me all the time. Except I unfollowed him, so that doesn't matter.
Reconstructive surgeries.
Yeah.
Exoskeletons.
Reconstructive surgery. That'll be helpful.
Military applications. On robotics alone. Even if they don't work.
Alright.
Alright.
Thank
you for coming.
Thanks. See ya. Next week, Unforgiven.